What's up, Hope College? How you doing? It's good to be with you this morning, and it's always a privilege for us to hang out with you. And because I've got one of my favorite people in the world here this morning, I don't know if you guys know Wynna Bosman. He's Engedi's college pastor. And I wanted to bring him up for one simple reason. He is a great source of free meals. So if you ever see him around, I just blew your budget for the rest of the year right there. If you ever see him around, say what's up to Wynna. He's here at Hope all the time. As was said earlier, my name is Brian, and I'm the pastor at Engedi. And I'm so glad to be here this morning. And I kind of do this every year when I'm here at Hope. I get to share with you something that's really cool we have coming up that's called Unfinished. And I just want to make sure every person in the room knows about it. So it's a great opportunity. We have speakers coming in from all over the world, some of the best folks you can imagine, speaking about how to discover your purpose. And I think there's a whole lot of us who are asking that kind of question. Before I say another thing, though, I want you to watch just a quick clip on the screen.
So this whole thing started...
This all started when...
I was a senior in college.
When I was 12 years old.
I went on my first short-term mission trip.
After I left what was comfortable... What was secure and what was familiar is where God began to reveal himself to me.
And I found my fingers typing, saying, I'm gonna go.
Maybe it's we're the ones that are supposed to be doing something.
So that was the beginning of a journey.
We're seeing them as the people I think God meant them to be.
We have 150 students at our first school in Haiti.
And somehow God chooses us, right, to do something incredible.
Unless somebody goes. They're not going
to
hear.
Yeah, you don't have to be a minister to go into mission.
It's okay if we don't know what's going to happen or where we're going to live next month with five kids. He always provides.
You don't have to wait to go overseas to do missions. You can do it now where you're at.
The work is not finished.
The work is not finished.
The work is not finished. We must respond.
Keep telling the story.
Not live for us.
Join together and join Jesus in what he's already doing.
Are you willing to go where God might call us?
Yeah, so that's Unfinished, friends. It's November 11. It's a day long. It's going to be unbelievable. I could describe it all day long, but here's what I like to do. Every year when I'm at Hope, I love to kind of come with a gift of sorts. And so here's the thing. I want to make sure that like money is not an issue for any person here. So for the next 24 hours, if you want to be part of Unfinished, go to our church's website. There's a promo code that's going to come up on the screen. Don't forget that because that's half off if you're a student, okay? So half off a student, you want to be part of Unfinished, make sure in the next 24 hours you're part of this thing. And I'm telling you what, it is going to be such an encouraging day. So we all good with that?
Yeah.
All right, good. Let me move on then. If you got a Bible, please turn to Proverbs chapter 2. I know you're in a series looking through the book of Proverbs. And what I wanted to spend some time on today is just the subject of how you discern God's will. I feel like that's such, you know, for any of us, that's a big conversation. But I feel like particularly in the season that you guys are in, this is such a big conversation. It's like, what do you want me to do, God? What am I supposed to major in? Some of you come in blessed and favored by God. You come in knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt what you want. Lots of others, I got no idea. I just picked something and hoped it was going to work out. What am I supposed to major in? What job am I supposed to get? Is the person sitting next to me right now the person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with? And if you're looking at each other, if they're not, don't tell them, all right? Just be like, I really like you, but it's all of these big questions. And we're asking ourselves regularly, like, God, what am I supposed to do? What is the next step? And what I've discovered over the years watching lots of Christians try to figure out what the next step is for them is I think lots of times we look at God's will almost like a magic eight ball. Have you seen those? Like you shake it up and you hope you get the right answer. Or you have this sense of like God's got this secret plan for you in his back pocket. And if only you can decode the plan, then you're going to be all right. And so I've noticed that Christians have all kinds of like tricks and tools to try to decode the secret plan, you know. And so sometimes it's like, sometimes we're just waiting for open doors and closed doors. You maybe heard that vernacular before. I'm just waiting for God to open a door here. And other times it's like we're waiting for a feeling of peace about something. I think it might be God's will. She might be the one. I'm just waiting for a feeling of peace. I need to have a feeling of peace about this. And for other folks, maybe you've heard this concept of laying down a fleece. This is Gideon's example. It's kind of like testing God. Generally not a good idea, actually, but I'm going to lay out this fleece. And if God shows up, then I'll be like, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. And then one of my favorites is the random Bible verses approach. Have you ever done this? I, Guilty, all right? Guilty. Not recently. But this is the God, I don't know what you're telling me to do. And so here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna open up my Bible and I'm just gonna open to whatever page and I'm gonna put my finger down. And whatever verse my finger lands on, oh, it's your will for me. And maybe you heard the story about the dude who did this. He opens his Bible up, puts his finger square down on Matthew 27. It says, and Judas went out and hanged himself. He's like, but I don't know if I'm so sure that's what God's saying. And he said, I'm going to try this thing again. And he turns to Luke chapter 10 where Jesus says, now you go and do likewise. We got all these tools because we think God's got this secret plan in his back pocket. And what'd you learn at chapel today? Well, we think God's got this little secret code book in his back pocket, and if we can just get the right alignment of tools and tricks and stuff, then we can figure out, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. And what I would like to submit to you today is that there's actually a different and I think better way from Scripture to discern God's will than all of these little, not all of them are all bad, don't get me wrong, but I think there's a better way in Scripture. And so in Proverbs chapter 2, Solomon is coaching and speaking in words of life to you and me. And he says this beginning in verse 1. He says, my sons, my daughters, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, then, I'm going to skip to verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And here's the key verse I want to show you in verse 9. It says, then you will understand. Could you all say, I will understand? He says, then in verse 9, then you will understand what is right and just and fair and every good path. You'll understand. You'll know what to do. You'll catch a glimpse of God's wisdom in the moment. This is the idea that I want to submit to you. It might sound a little counterintuitive, but I think it's right out of the Proverbs we just read. Here's what I want to put before you, friends. I believe discerning God's will is less about spending all of this time trying to decode the secret plan that God is keeping from us. And it is more about becoming a person of wisdom who is able to make good decisions and then live them out by faith. Did you hear me on that? Let me say it a second time for you. I know it's a little bit counterintuitive, but I believe discerning God's will is less about, oh God, you know, do I got the right liver shivers? Am I feeling a lot of peace about this? Do I, all these different signs in it, trying to decode this? And it's more about becoming the kind of person who is wise and who has been shaped by God's word in such a way that you can start to make those day-to-day decisions about what's next and where am I supposed to go, and then walk them out in confidence that God is with you. Let me put it for you like this, if I could. We've got, Christina and I have two teenagers right now and a fifth grader. It's a fun season of life. When they were young, we had to tell them everything to do. I mean, when they were young, it was like, you know, turn right here, walk there, wake up in the morning, brush your teeth. Or, you know, that's always important. Put your clothes on, also important. We'd say, you know, you would have to tell them, go to the bathroom, you know. And no, not in the front lawn. Like, you use the inside bathroom. You tell them everything when they're young. But then as our kids grew older, we increasingly started teaching them principles of what it means to live a wise and godly life. This is what we're still doing today. We're teaching them principles. And our hope is, listen to this, our hope is that as they get older, we're no longer prescribing for them in every moment, do this, do that, turn here, turn there. We're hoping that they're going to start to apply those principles in wisdom and live them out on their own. Are y'all tracking with me right now? I don't want a 40-year-old son that I've got to tell, go to the bathroom. And preferably inside. I don't want that. I want him to be able to live out the wisdom that we have built into him. And I think similarly, what God is forming you and me for is not to be people who have to stumble over every question. God, what's your secret plan? Where I got to decode it. I got to decode the code book and all this. But he wants to form your mind and heart in such a way that you have become a wise person. And you are able to make great and God-honoring decisions regularly and then move forward in faith. And so my encouragement to you today is to simply this. It's to become a person of wisdom. Become a person not just who is filled with great knowledge and great truths, but become a person who is shaped by them. I'm going to spend my whole sermon this Sunday at Engedi teaching on this very subject. What does it mean to take the text to heart, to be shaped and formed by the text in such a way that you're not just a person with lots of information, but you have in fact become a person of wisdom who reflects and lives out the text? And if you're seeking to become a person of wisdom, friends, then there is no greater person to meditate on than Jesus himself. The scripture says Jesus is the wisdom of God incarnate. So the more time you spend living like Jesus, thinking like Jesus, reflecting on Jesus' words, friends, the more you will become wise. The more you will be able to get up in the morning and have confidence that your heart and life has been so shaped that you can make decisions about all these different matters that we have to make decisions on. You can make them according to the wisdom that God has shaped you with and then move forward with confidence and in faith. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for the privilege of being with my friends today at Hope. I pray, Father, that they would be the kind of community that is so deeply shaped by your word, so deeply shaped by encounters with Jesus, who is the incarnate wisdom of God. I pray, Father, that they would become wise. And therefore, God, rather than having to treat life like we're decoding your secret plan that you're somehow keeping from us, Father, we would be able to live into the wisdom that you have given us, make decisions in faith, and then walk those decisions out with confidence. Might every person in this room, as this weekend of fall break begins, be refreshed, be re-energized, as they would come back in just a few days' time and live out a radical faith in Jesus. We pray it in his great name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Thanks for having me today. Have a great day, everybody.